Nessus had not yet reached the other bank when we began to make our way across a wood on which no path had left its mark. No green leaves in that forest, only black. No branches straight and smooth, but knotted, gnarled. No fruits were there, but briars bearing poison. Even those savage beasts that roam between Cecina and Corneto, beasts that hate tilled lands, do not have holts so harsh and dense. This is the nesting place of the foul harpies who chase the Trojans from the Strophades with sad foretelling of their future trials. Their wings are wide, their necks and faces human. Their feet are taloned, their great bellies feathered. They utter their laments on the strange trees. And my kind master then instructed me, "Before you enter farther, know that now you are within the second ring and shall be here until you reach the horrid sand. Therefore, look carefully. You'll see such things as would deprive my speech of all belief." From every side I heard the sound of cries, but I could not see any source for them, so that in my bewilderment I stopped. I think that he was thinking that I thought so many voices moaned among those trunks from people who had been concealed from us. Therefore, my master said, "If you would tear a little twig from any of these plants, the thoughts you have will also be cut off." Then I stretched out my hand a little way, and from a great thorn bush snapped off a branch, at which its trunk cried out, "Why do you tear me?" And then, when it had grown more dark with blood, it asked again, "Why do you break me off? Are you without all sentiment of pity? We once were men, and now are arid stumps. Your hand might well have shown us greater mercy, had we been nothing more than souls of serpents. As from a sapling log that catches fire along one of its ends, while at the other it drips and hisses with escaping vapor, so from that broken stump issue together both words and blood, at which I let the branch fall, and I stood like one who was afraid. My sage said, 'Wounded soul, if earlier he had been able to believe what he had only glimpsed within my poetry, then he would not have set his hand against you. But its incredibility made me urge him to do a deed that grieves me deeply. But tell him who you were, so that he may, to make amends, refresh your fame within the world above, where he can still return.' To which the trunk, 'Your sweet speech draws me so that I cannot be still, and may it not oppress you. If I linger now and talk, I am the one who guarded both the keys of Frederick's heart and turned them, locking and unlocking them with such dexterity that none but I could share his confidence. And I was faithful to my splendid office, so faithful that I lost both sleep and strength. The whore who never turned her harlot's eyes away from Caesar's dwelling, she who is the death of all and vice of every court, inflamed the minds of everyone against me. And those inflamed, then so inflamed Augustus, that my delighted honors turned to sadness. My mind, because of its disdainful temper, believing it could flee disdain through death, made me unjust against my own self. I swear to you by the peculiar roots of this thorn bush, I never broke my faith with him who was so worthy, with my Lord. If one of you returns into the world, then let him help my memory, which still lies prone beneath the battering of envy." The poet waited briefly. Then he said to me, "Since he is silent, do not lose this chance, but speak and ask what you would know." And I, "Do you continue? Ask of him whatever you believe I should request. I cannot. So much pity takes my heart." Then he began again, "Imprisoned spirit, so may this man do freely what you ask. May it please you to tell us something more of how the soul is bound into these knots. And tell us, if you can, if anyone can ever find his freedom from those limbs." At this, the trunk breathed violently. Then that wind became the voice. You shall be answered promptly. When the savage spirit quits the body from which it has torn itself, then Minos sends it to the seventh maw. It falls into the wood, and there's no place to which it is allotted. But wherever fortune has flung that soul, that is the space where, even as a grain of spelt, it sprouts. It arises as a sapling, a wild plant, and then the harpies, feeding on its leaves, cause pain, and for that pain provide a vent. Like other souls, we shall seek out the flesh that we have left, but none of us shall wear it. It is not right for any man to have what he himself has cast aside. We'll drag our bodies here. They'll hang in this sad wood, each on the stump of its vindictive shade. And we were still intent upon the trunk, believing it had wanted to say more, when we were overtaken by a roar. Just as the hunter is aware of chase and boar as they draw near his post, he hears the beasts and then the branches as they crack. And there upon the left were two, who scratched and naked, fled so violently that they tore away each forest bough they passed. The one in front. Now come, death, quickly come. The other shade, who thought himself too slow, was shouting after him, Lano, your legs were not so nimble at the jousts of Topo. And then, perhaps because he'd lost his breath, he fell into one tangle with a bush. Behind those two, black bitches filled the wood, and they were just as eager and as swift as greyhounds that have been let off their leash. They set their teeth in him where he had crouched, and piece by piece, those dogs dismembered him and carried off his miserable limbs. Then he who was my escort took my hand. He led me to the lacerated thorn that wept in vain where it was bleeding, broken. O Jacopo, it said, da Santo Andrea, what have you gained by using me as a screen? Am I to blame for your indecent life? When my good master stood beside that bush, he said, Who were you? Who through many wounds must breathe with blood your melancholy words? And he to us, O spirits who have come to witness the outrageous laceration that leaves so many of my branches torn, collect them at the foot of this sad thorn. My home was in the city whose first patron gave way to John the Baptist. For this reason, he'll always use his art to make it sorrow. And if, along the crossing of the Arno, some effigy of Mars had not remained, those citizens who afterward rebuilt their city on the ashes that Attila had left to them would have traveled in vain. I made of my own house my gallows place.
Puoi sempurtar quelle membre dolente. Resemi allora la mia scorta per mano e me nomi al cespuglio che piangea delle rotture sanguinente in vanno. O Jacopo dicea, da Santo Andrea, che te giovato di me fare schermo? Che colpa ho io della tua vita rea? Quando la maestro fu sopra esso fermo disse, chi fosti? Che per tante punte soffre con sangue d'oro su semo. E eri a noi. O anime che giunte siete a vedere lo spazio disonesto che alla mia fronte si da me disgiunte. Raggio gilente a piede tristo cesto. E fui della città che nel battista muto il primo padrone. Onde per questo sempre con l'arte sua la fara trista, e se non fosse che in sul passo d'Arno rimane ancora di lui alcuna vista. Che cittadì che poi la rifondarno sopra le cenere che di Attila rimase, avrebbe fatto lavorare d'Arno, io fe gibetto a me delle mie casse.